The Essays of Mexico. On my last day in Mexico, Mexico City bade farewell to me before I had had time to pack my bags. I looked for water late at night, and every road performed a drum roll down each side, shop shutters closing, clanging just for me. Goodbye, good luck, and most of all, good night. At last, inside a little lane, under a string of dangling, dismal, wind-blown bulbs, I found a stall still open for some paltry scraps of business. A plastic tub kept a few bottles cool and bobbing. Behind it sat a lady, one of those women whose chairs seem to have grown from out beneath them, with which they have attained a state of stability too perfect ever to relinquish. She made no move to serve me, but with a languid flick of just one finger beckoned a child crouching by the curb. "She likes to do the selling," she said. The girl came over chuckling at her appointment to a grown-up task. She was so small I wasn't even sure that she could speak. Never had I bought anything from one so young. The oldest person was in Oaxaca. I sat one evening on its multi-layered square, surrounded by the sound of the soft S's of Mexico, which fall like gentle slanting rain, which has been falling through the centuries, worrying at the land, and washing all the people's faces into wistful, lingering smiles. Some Indio girls sailed by, seeming not to walk, but like dark boats carried on their own secret breeze. Shoeshiners in close ranks set frantically to work. Children fortunate enough to play went chasing after huge balloons. In six or seven places, music gushed or trickled out, coalescing into strange compound harmonies around the center of the square, where people came and went, talked, listened, laughed, and sighed under the majestic ahuehuete trees, whose branches intermingled so that they seemed to stand in a huddled, leafy conversation upon the threshold of the sky. From out of all this drift and bustle there came an ancient woman. At every step she swung her leg in a wide arc out from the hip, and every step triggered a soft, surprised complaint. Oy, oy. She dragged a halting, slow refrain through many minutes until she reached the cafe where I sat, watching the shuttling people weave a tapestry of attitude and motion among the trees, the sounds, the birds, the evening sky. The waiters greeted her with slowly offered words. She stood in the near distance, away from me, not saying a thing, not even looking at my face, but at a space beside it, waiting to see if I would deign to notice her. "Señora, are you tired?" I asked. She took two painful steps in my direction. "And what have you to sell?" She placed a little basket on my table, smiling, perhaps embarrassed, for all it contained were five thimble-sized packages of chicles, chewing gum. And in between that lady and the tiny child, in all the places I had been upon the map, between Oaxaca and the great city of Mexico, and at all stages in between, their two so extreme ages, waifs, aunts, grandfathers, and fresh brides on almost every street had greeted me and asked if I would buy. The lady with the motherly air, who used her arms as racks for shawls, who after bantering a while said jokingly, "I'm trying so hard to sell you something, but I'm not getting anywhere, I think," or else the village man who stalked the ruins of the Zapotecs at Montalban, who had a plastic bag full of the ancient gods which he had carved from stone himself, and who explained the meaning of each furrow on their faces and of each portion of their gaudy, wondrous raiments. When I declined, he said goodbye, wished me good luck, and turned just like a silent closing door. Or else the boys, who bobbed up with quick silver hands above me as I sat and thrust shoe boxes full of sweets into my face, and just as suddenly jerked them away again and launched back into their endless wandering brawl which slashed a snaking path of toppled chairs. And then the little girls of 8 or 9, their faces mired in sadness, stricken by a dismal eclipse of which I knew nothing, who would come up and plead, "Please buy something from me." I made a paper frog for one. After 10 minutes had gone by, she walked back my way to let off a firework of a smile just for me, her face a glittering little sun, so utterly transformed that for a second I wondered who she was. So many people scrabbling at the cracks in our great marketplace, selling small things which they had made lovingly or painfully themselves, or for a tiny profit, the simple convenience of buying from my chair something that at times was in a shop no more than 20 yards away. Toothpicks, grasshoppers, pots, hammers, keyrings, sticky tape, a poem, wooden combs, a complete set of sewing needles for everything from sails to button. And once in Puebla, I was sold a local speciality, a biscuit, one. The little girl was ready now. She plunged her flimsy arms into the tub. She reached, of course, for the most brightly coloured drink. I pointed her to the water I was waiting for. She grabbed it with both hands and then began to tug, turning her face and beaming up into the sky towards my face, which must have seemed 5 miles away, so small was she. To me, she seemed 500 miles away. I could not remember ever being that young. Seeing the bottle weighed too much for her, I added one of my hands to hers, enough to help her without snatching her important task away. And with 3 hands, the bottle came up like a struggling fish into the air. She clapped her hands once, waiting for some new excitement, and when none came, she bent down from the waist and started to explore the way the world looked like when taken by surprise and caught backwards and upside down from in between her parted legs. I wondered whether one day she would become that hobbling old lady on the square. Clutching my bottle, I walked the dim and empty streets. The rain began to fall again, as it had done on every night of every day that I'd been there. I felt the S's of Mexico slowly rolling down my brow, my cheeks, my nose, and then my ears heard once again the voices of 1,000 people meekly peddling their precious, meager wares.